Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. We're turning in our Bible again to the book of Matthew, chapter number 9, and I'm reading verse number 36, 37, and 38. The Bible said, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I began a message on yesterday on praying for missions, and we looked at several things in the study on yesterday. The one that really I want to emphasize is in verse number 38, you have our Lord's only prayer request or prayer command. And I liken this unto you and I gathering at the house of God for our prayer meeting in the midweek and gathering around the altar and the pastor taking prayer requests. Somebody raises a hand and the pastor recognizes them and says, yes, what is your request? And they make known their prayer request. And can you imagine if the Lord was there in that service in person and he raised a nail-pierced hand and was recognized by the pastor, then he would say, my request is that you pray the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. And each week, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, he would do the same thing, because this is the only prayer request that he makes in the Word of God. And he is really saying, pray for me that I will send forth laborers into the harvest. And again, I remind you, he is the only one that has the authority to call forth laborers. So it teaches us that we are to pray for laborers to be sent. This is God's method of getting missionaries to the field. We're to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And as we do that, I am persuaded that God will hear and answer our prayer. So we're not praying in vain when we pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And I pointed out on yesterday that as a church and as Christians, we're to look at a lost world needing a Savior, and we're really to pray for them in three areas. Number one, we're to pray them in, see them saved. Number two, we're to pray them up, see them strong. Number three, we're to pray them out and see them serving. So our Lord makes the prayer request or the prayer command that we pray that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. It still blows my mind to realize that the Lord is saying to us, pray for me that I will do the job of sending forth laborers into the harvest. And again, I emphasize, would we want to be guilty of ignoring the Lord's prayer request? Or would we want to be guilty of failing to pray over the Lord's prayer request? I'm not really trying to put you on a guilt trip. I'm just trying to show you the importance of the text that I'm dealing with. God has said to us, pray, I'll send forth laborers into the harvest, and we must pray that. And I am convinced that if we pray that prayer, then God will hear us and answer us. And I'm also convinced that at the judgment seat of Christ, God will introduce the prayer warrior to that missionary that he's called. And then I believe God will allow that missionary to introduce his fruit to the one who prayed him into the harvest of God. So again, I say to you, why sit around whining and complaining because we do not have enough missionary personnel? when God has given us the method of getting them to the field. We're to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We're to pray for laborers to be sent. Now you say, preacher, why would the Lord make such a request as that when there are so many other things that he could have made the request for? Well, again, I want to emphasize, in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest burden of his heart is to see sinners saved by the grace of God. And he knows they cannot be saved until they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows they cannot believe upon him in whom they've not heard. And he knows they cannot hear without a preacher. So he realizes that if the world is going to hear the gospel and be saved by the grace of God, laborers have to be sent forth. So he said, pray that I'll send forth laborers into the harvest. And you might want to say, well, preacher, why is that such a burden to our Lord? Why would he be so concerned and moved with compassion about lost people? Sad to say this, but many religious leaders of our day are more interested in seeing them become socially accepted than they are seeing them saved by the grace of God. But why, preacher? What about the harvest that would move God with compassion and cause him to make such a prayer request? Let me give you three thoughts from the Word of God. First of all, he would make this prayer request because the harvest truly is plenteous. There are souls all around the world that have never heard the gospel that are dying in their sins every day, every hour, every minute. Since I've been on the broadcast today, many have died without the Lord Jesus Christ and are having their first experiences right this moment in the flames of a Christless hell. They're everywhere. They're going to hell by the numbers. And Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous. What he is saying, when I look at the harvest, and I look at the laborers, then I realize that the laborers are overwhelmed. There is more to be done than they can get done. They need help. They need more laborers. And I want you to pray to me that I will send forth laborers into the harvest because the harvest is plenteous. I'm not being critical as I say this, but one of the things that bothers me is to see so many preachers say they're called to preach, but they never get out and do the work of an evangelist. They never serve as a pastor. They never go as a missionary. It's as though they sat on the church pew waiting for the pastor to die or some pastor to resign, and some church called them and opened the door for them to serve the Lord in that area. Now, my friend, that may be the will of God for some, but that is not the will of God for all. When God calls a preacher, God calls him to preach. God made a persimmon tree for every possum, and so God has a pulpit for every preacher. It is not the will of God, if you're saved and called of God, that you sit around and warm a church pew Sunday after Sunday. Now, I am convinced that preachers ought to be faithful to their local church until God puts them in the ministry. But woe be unto the preacher who sits on the pew Sunday after Sunday, week after week and month after month, and never prays and never gets under a burden for a world going to hell and never has a vision of what God's will is for his life and lives and dies virtually sitting there doing nothing as far as the calling into the ministry is concerned. The harvest is plenteous. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't have anywhere to preach. The street corners are basically empty. There's room at the jails. There's room at the nursing homes. And there's room door to door, house to house. Everybody won't let you in, but some will. So he's concerned about the harvest because the harvest is plenteous. Then may I say to you, number two, not only he's concerned because the harvest is plenteous, but he's concerned because the harvest is precious. Friend, we're not dealing with stocks and bonds, houses and land. No, we're dealing with souls that will live eternally, either in heaven or in hell. And God gives you and I the awesome responsibility and yet the wonderful opportunity to make an eternal difference in where someone lives forever, whether it's in heaven with the Lord or in hell with the devil and his crowd. You and I can make an eternal difference. But it is not only some mother's child and somebody's friend that we're talking about going to hell. But friend, it is an individual that God loves so much that he gave his son to die for that individual. And Christ loved that sinner so much that he would leave heaven and come to earth to keep them from having to go to hell for their sin. Hear me, dear friend, I'm saying the harvest is plenteous, but I'm also saying to you, the harvest is precious. We're dealing with people that are real people. We're dealing with hell that is a real place, and heaven that is a real place, and we're dealing with eternity that is a real period of time. This is not make-believe. This is reality. And the Lord knew that. So he said, I want you to pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth labors into the harvest, because the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is precious. Thirdly, I want you to notice, he said, I want you to send forth labors into the harvest because the harvest is perishing. Notice in John chapter 4, verse number 35, Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field. They're white already to harvest. You see, in the Bible, they did not have any cotton fields. And when he talked about the harvest, he spoke about a grain field, wheat, barley, something of that nature. When the grain is ripe, it's a golden brown. But friend, if it's not gathered when it's ripe, then the husk turns loose, the sun bleaches it out, and it turns white. And all it takes to lose that harvest when it's beginning to turn white is just a good hard rain. The grain is pounded out of the husk, it falls to the ground, and it's forever gone. And so what Jesus is saying, we don't have a lifetime to wait. They're going to hell today. Some who have lived this day on planet Earth have lived their last day. They'll be in hell when they wake up in the morning. And my friend, Jesus said, I don't want them to go there. I want you to pray that I'll send both laborers into the harvest and reap that harvest before it's eternally too late. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is precious. And the harvest is perishing. Are you praying over the Lord's Prayer to send forth laborers? If not, God, help us to start today. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I'm grateful to the Lord for the radio stations that carry the broadcast, and I do trust that you'll pray for them and support them as the Holy Spirit directs you to do so. As we approach the Christmas season, I want to wish all the personnel at each station and you, the listener, a very blessed Christmas and a healthy and happy and spiritually prosperous New Year. And I trust that God will bless you. You'll have a wonderful time with your family and friends during the holiday season. Let me encourage you that as you do your Christmas giving, that you remember the Harvest Time broadcast. A letter from you at this time of the year would be such a blessing. And even if you could not send any support, it's always a joy and a blessing to receive Christmas cards. So take a moment and write to us and share with us, if it's at all possible, in the financial burden. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Adonai.